You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
G'day, mate. You're listening to Insomnia Radio Australia with music from Down Under.
Just a minute. Don't hang up. Hello.
Insomnia Radio Australia and IRC FM presents IRC FM Australia. IRC FM Australia starts now.
You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
So many years, all people are listening to music, and they like it, but only few of us know
that music is
life is life is life.
G'day, I'm IRC. Welcome to episode 382 of IRC FM Australia, coming to you from Big Sound 2013 in Brisbane, Australia. It is the 11th of September 2013. There is a lot of people here in the foyer at lunchtime. Day one of Big Sound 2013, and it is going to be a massive few days in the Fortitude Valley area of central Brisbane. At the moment, there are various conference sessions underway and various media interviews underway during the day. The keynote speaker, Billy Bragg, has already spoken. There's lots of big names here, and I'm also here as well. This evening, Wednesday evening, there will be lots and lots of live music connected with Big Sound in and around the Fortitude Valley area of Brisbane. There are 12 official venues with lots of different bands playing in those 12 venues, and there are also side shows as well, in addition to the regular live music that goes on here in Brisbane on a daily basis. It's going to be a interesting experience for me. This is my first music conference. I have, of course, done a lot of media interviews and that sort of thing before, but this is the first actual music conference that I've been to. There's lots of big names in the music industry. Hopefully there will be some network opportunities. There's just so many people around. And obviously at the moment, I don't know who is who in the zoo, so to speak. At the moment, I'm in the foyer of the Judith Wright Performing Arts Centre, which is one of the conference venues. And this will be where I'll be conducting interviews both today and tomorrow. Lots of live music Wednesday and Thursday night. And then there'll be sideshows continuing up until the weekend. On this episode, there will be some interviews, and then I will be trying my best to get to the music venues in and around the Fortitude Valley area. It's fairly compact. It's easy to get between the venues, and with my media accreditation, or if you are an audience member with your Big Sound ticket, you can get between each one of the venues of your choosing. The two-day pass for people who are going to the live section is $69. And when you consider that there's 12 venues with many different bands on both Wednesday and Thursday night, and you can pick and choose which venues you want to go to, that is outstanding value. Of course, being here in Australia, there is a big representation of artists and also various industry groups and media organisations here in Australia, but there's also a big Canadian presence as well. I'm standing in front of a sign telling us about a Canadian blast of Big Sound, and there's a lot of different artists here from Canada and also various Canadian organisations, including ALMA Records, Boompa Records, the Canadian Independent Music Association, Canadian Music Week, CLK Creative Works, Coalition Music, the Consulate General of Canada from Sydney, Granite Wish Entertainment, Hopefully Tragedy Records, Light Organ Records, Music BC, Nevada Records and Management, the Feldman Agency, Tonic Records, and also Watson Entertainment. It's going to be a big couple of days for me and also a big few episodes of IRC FM Australia. Of course, you can find everything that you need, all of the music and a lot more at IRCFMAustralia.com. My very first interview at Big Sound 2013 is The Trouble with Templeton. They're a five-piece alternative rock band from Brisbane. We have Thomas on vocals and guitars, Hugh on lead guitar and backing vocals, Betty on keys and backing vocals, Sam on bass and backing vocals, and Richie on drums. In April 2011, Thomas, at the age of 20, gathered all the gear that he could find and recorded a mini album called Bleeders in his Brisbane home. It took all of 2.5 weeks. Even the most cursory airing of Thomas's striking debut will leave the listener with no doubt that the boy is special. He released the album independently in November 2011 with more and more loving and positive reactions from all over Australia every day. In June 2012, the act underwent a spectacular transformation. They became an epic, clever and stunningly beautiful five-piece band. The new, exceptionally talented band members know how to complement and build on Thomas's voice and songwriting skills perfectly. The first single to showcase the band's new sound was 6 Months in a Cast, released in Australia in September 2012. It was the iTunes Single of the Week in Australia and New Zealand, number 11 Triple J Airplay, and number 4 on the Australian Independent Radio Charts. The band have played and was a highlight of Big Sound 2012 in Brisbane. They headlined the exclusive Communion Music Night in Melbourne. They played Harvest Festival and also the legendary Falls Festival in Victoria and have toured with some of Australia's finest acts. In October 2012, Thomas travelled solo to the US and played 18 shows and showcases in 21 days, touring captured full rooms. In December 2012, The Trouble with Templeton was announced as one of Triple J's next crop artists for 2013. And then earlier in 2013, Bleeders was on the long list for the Australian Music Prize. Thomas won the prestigious and highly competitive APRA PDA Songwriting Award, and he recently came third in the International Songwriting Competition Rock category for 6 months. In March 2013, the band travelled to the US for South by Southwest Canadian Music Week and shows in Los Angeles and New York with incredible results.
Hi guys.
Hey, how you going? I'm Richie. You play drums in the band.
I'm Sam. I play bass in the band.
And we're missing, who are we missing?
We're missing Hugh on guitar, Betty on keys, and Tom, who sings and plays guitar. They're behind us in the distance. We've got two interviewing teams today because there's not much time. It's a crazy Big Sound thing.
Yep.
So apart from your obvious roles in the band, a lot of people have to do things themselves with promotion and all that sort of thing. Who does what with you guys?
Kind of varies depending on what jobs need to be done. For example, Betty, when we're on tour, she's definitely like doubles as like a little tour manager with getting all the boys awake in time. And although we're not like a super party band by any means, so we're usually up quite early, but she whips us into shape if it's not Sam whipping us into shape. In a different way.
Yeah.
So for people who haven't heard your music, how would you describe it?
Do you want to take this one?
I don't want to take this one. That's a hard question, but I'll try. I don't know. Maybe, it's like, melodic, folk, alternative melodic folk rock cinematic.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely changes. I think we've got a
the National and Radiohead, but not really that much Radiohead. I don't know. It doesn't really sound like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a hard one.
Tell me about the name. How did you come up with your band name? That's always an interesting one for some people, how you actually came up with it.
Well, The Trouble with Templeton is a episode from classic TV show The Twilight Zone, which Tom loves.
There's two versions of that show. There was one in black and white in, like, I think it was like the 50s. When it first came out, and the writers, it was just like this whack show where there'd be like short 20-minute episodes, and one of those episodes was called The Trouble with Templeton. It's really whacked. They've since done like a remake of them, and they're not as good, but this is, yeah, the name came from one of the original episodes.
They're very dark. Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
How do you decide a band name? Did you all get together and throw up ideas, or was it just the one idea that came up?
I think Tom, because he'd already started this project on his own.
Templeton started as a solo act of just Tom.
Yep.
And then slowly we kind of joined. I think Hugh and Betty joined first, and then Sam and I just last year joined the band. So Tom came up with that name by himself.
Big Sound 2012 was our first official gig together as a band.
Yep.
So that's us, a year.
So it's been a big year for you guys. What have been some of the highlights?
The American tour. That was awesome. LA, Texas.
Texas was super fun. It's my first time in the States, and it was like insane. It's my first time at like a something. I mean, there's nothing else really like South by Southwest.
No, it's just huge.
You can't really explain it, but it's like something on steroids. Yeah, it's great. So that was a massive highlight.
It's like a bunch of harvest festivals or a bunch of, I don't know, big day outs crammed together but then squished into a smaller space.
And like way
and
more
stacked
DIY.
On top of each other as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know.
So for those of us who aren't here, how would you describe Big Sound?
I'd say Big Sound's kind of like a mixture between, I guess
it's like a great meeting place. Like we were saying before, it's like it's just a great place for everyone to meet up. You spend a lot of your time talking to people in the industry, like via email or your friends on the phone, or you know, hearing music on the net now or whatever. And it's just a good space to all meet.
Yeah, get face to face with people, and people from every part of the music industry.
Yeah.
Are here from every level of it, or whatever, however you want to describe that. Everyone can talk to the relevant people they want to talk to, make appointments with each other, and the bands are here as well.
Avoid people if you want to.
Yeah, try very hard to avoid people if you can, but you can't. And then, I guess all the bands are here, so it contextualizes what they're talking about as well. You can see what the other person's talking about, and they can either go, yeah, I love it. Or they can go, yeah, I love it, but they don't mean it.
And you can tell. Because it's not by email. Yeah.
So what other local bands are impressing you guys at the moment?
Holy Holy.
Yeah. There's a friend of ours, a producer, Yukon Snakes.
Definitely.
He's an amazing, I guess, hip-hop producer or pop producer. He's kind of in the underground scene. Emma Louise is killing it. She's a good friend of ours.
Yep.
There's lots of stuff coming out of Brisbane at the moment. Yeah.
What's coming up for you guys? We're coming up to the Australian 2013 summer. What's coming up?
We're heading over to the UK in a few weeks.
In like next week, the end of next, or 2 weeks.
Yeah, really soon. Going to the UK and Germany, playing some festivals over there, Reaper Barn.
And we're playing in like Brighton, a festival in Brighton, are we?
No, I don't think we're doing that anymore. That was the original thing. Now I think we might have missed that.
Whoopsies.
A bunch of things happened. We had to push it back and push it back and push it back. And then
So we're heading over there, and then I think we have a little bit of time when we get back to just hang out and do some more writing.
Mm. And then it's like festivals and start, you know, festival season, I guess. And
How does the writing process work for you guys?
Well,
it's kind of changing now, I think. It used to stem from Tom, you know, the solo idea of Tom writing the majority of the song, and then, or the whole of the entirety of the song. But now, since it's a full band, it changes between songs. I mean, on this last record, it went from, like, excuse me, like a couple of ideas that Tom would bring in, that would then, you know, be totally reworked, and then, you know, each person in the band would have a specific role that they had written themselves, to then, you know, more of the conventional solo Trouble with Templeton stuff, where Tom pretty much brings in the majority of a song and we just write a single part. Yeah.
Mm. Does the music come first or lyrics usually?
Well, they have to be, it's like the right balance, I think. You need to...
You mean in the writing stages?
Yeah.
No, lyrics can often change. It's the melody, more importantly. Yeah, and the melody.
Melody first, definitely.
And then what makes that sound the best, and are there any parts of it that need to be changed, or... Yeah, I mean, once you hear that, like, Tom's got one of those naturally, he just, I don't know, knows melody or something. He just is a melodic kind of thinker. And he has that kind of, his melodies are often really, like, they're always, I find, really nicely constructed and really balanced. So it's not that difficult to figure out what has to go on.
Just imagine for a moment it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're asleep and you have a good idea, whether it be for a lyric, whether it be for a melody, drum beat, whatever. What, if anything, do you do?
I have to get up and I write it down. I write things on, you know, Stave, so I do that.
Yeah, I guess.
Or I sing it into my phone.
In the iPhone.
The iPhone's amazing, actually.
Yeah. I've tried to remember it in the morning and I never remember it, so... If it's worth writing down, even if it's not, you just do it, and then you can reevaluate it the next day.
Yeah.
And has it ever worked?
Yeah. Often totally. Totally.
I actually, like, something about my consciousness is just too switched on when I wake up, and, like, I just need to wear it down over the course of the day, and then the subconscious starts, like, pouring out the stuff you really were looking for, but you can't actually look for it, so...
Yeah.
It works, yeah. It's the only way that
it's
works.
It's hard not to overthink stuff.
Yeah.
In the writing. Well, I find it anyway.
Yeah. You need to, like, not engage with those things. Because then once you... It's like, you know, that... What's that thing with the cat where you... I don't know.
Don't show
the quantum mechanics, if you try and look at it, you know, if you try to observe it, it changes. So you just need to let it somehow get around. And so you can try and figure out what it was.
And finally, big sounds about learning and networking and everything like that. If you had to give one piece of advice to a young band, what would it be?
Be nice to people.
Be really nice to people, totally. And have fun, because I think it's definitely, you got to always be having fun.
Just be honest and be nice and have fun. And
don't worry.
Just don't worry about ego and things like that, because everyone's great.
How can we find you online?
Got a
Google.
Website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. TheTroubleWithTempleton.com. Quite active Facebookers, too.
Yeah.
That's the ticket.
Well, awesome. Facebook's dying out, I reckon.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. Thanks very much.
Never seen that face before, punched in school. I guess it's what those scars were for. Such a fool. You thought those words were yours, quite askew. And so the rays were well ashore. Not a clue, not a clue, just a question in the. Affair. You care.
face before, punched in school. I guess that's what those scars were for. Such a fool, you thought those words were yours. Quite askew, and so to raise my way.
Welcome back to IRC FM Australia, episode 382, coming to you from Big Sound 2013. And with us, we have a couple of members from Twin Beast. Hi, guys.
G'day, mate. How are you? How are
you,
Eric?
How you doing?
Awesome. Absolutely great to be here. Introduce yourselves and what you do in the band, and tell us who isn't here.
Yeah, sure. My name is Giuliano Furla, and I am a vocalist.
Yep, I'm Dan Hawkins, and I'm a vocalist as well.
Yeah.
And we're missing the rest of our band.
Yeah,
so the people that are good, well, we play a couple of instruments ourselves, but the bulk of our musicians aren't here, so Steve.
Yeah, so we're missing Matt Berry, Steve Gavin, and Diffin Thomas, and Greg. Yeah. Greg Folletta as well.
These days, a lot of people have to do a lot of things for themselves outside of playing their instruments and doing vocals and whatnot. What, if anything, do you guys have to do outside? Do you do any of the promotion yourself?
Yeah, hell yeah. I do a lot of the grant writing and that kind of thing and a bit of that sort of stuff, yeah.
I did all of the managing and booking of the band for for a couple of years until someone came and took that off my hands.
Yeah.
And now I kind of just do a bit more of an organisational role outside of the band as far as booking supports and organising flights occasionally and things like that. Yeah,
I think everyone in the band sort of like has jobs that they do themselves. Like, it takes a lot of work to sort of run a band smoothly, so like, you know, everyone's sort of involved in not just the music, but you know, they have some organisational capacity as well.
Tell me about your band name. How did you come up with that?
Twin Beasts?
Yeah.
Well, originally we were called the Toot Toot Toots up until like about 2 months ago, but we produced a record. Our producer on our last record was a Canadian guy called Burke Reed, and he just pretty much said, "Guys, if you're going to release this in America or Canada, you have to know that toot means fart everywhere." So we kind of decided to change the name as a result. And Twin Beasts, just pretty much because, why is it?
Well, we threw a lot of names out there, and I think that we like the word beasts because our songs are quite undelicate in any kind of way. So it kind of was a bit fitting, and we have the two singers, so we thought Twin Beasts was quite nice. So I remember we were throwing the word beast around in a lot of different combinations, and then twins seemed to make the most sense.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, hell yeah.
Now, my day job is actually a train driver in Sydney.
No kidding.
So I'm wondering, toot to toots, was that like a train reference originally?
What was it? I don't know. What I think it was just... I think the full title of our original band was Toot Toot Toots and the Royal Jesus Tambonic Orchestra.
Yeah, we didn't really think about it. We thought we were only ever going to play one show. And it was just a giant joke. We had 15 tambourine players. And then we... And then it was a lot of fun. It was really bad. I mean, we sounded terrible. But...
that was before I even joined.
It was really fun. So people kept asking us to play shows and it just kept on going. And it's been refined a lot since those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For people who haven't heard you yet, and they will by the end of this episode, how would you describe your music?
We've kind of gone through a couple of different stages. It's all quite gruff. We got a horn section. Our last album before the one we're about to release was a spaghetti western album, so that was very influenced by old westerns.
Yeah.
And kind of had that really dry guitar sound and that kind of rollicking drum sound.
And I think this album still has some of those influences, but we were kind of a spaghetti western country band. And then we kind of moved away from that into sort of, I don't know, like, I guess more traditional songwriting and pop songwriting and that kind of thing. You know, but still with a gruff kind of, a bit of an edge to it, I guess, yeah.
How does songwriting work for you guys?
Normally one person has an idea and they bring it to rehearsal, and then everyone else just completely twists it until it's... become something that everybody's happy with. With the most recent record, we wrote... like 10 songs for it. Well, you know, we didn't even finish writing them probably, but we wrote a bunch of ideas for songs, some more fleshed out than others. And then Burke Reed, who was our producer, came and twisted it on its head, really. So
he tore every song to shreds, pretty much every song but two, I think.
Yeah.
And like totally unpacked them, ripped them apart, and then we worked on every single aspect of that song again and again and again until we rebuilt something that was just totally different. It was a real new experience for us. It was pretty cool.
What comes first, lyrics or melody tune?
Melody tune, chords definitely first. Yeah.
Although lyrics are pretty important for us. We're not a band that just that writes lyrics very flippantly. They take a while.
Yeah, they do.
This album is a bit different, but the last one was one narrative throughout the entire album, so it was kind of like almost like a musical, really.
Yeah.
And this album is similar in a way that it's the album that's coming out is going to be called Bad Love, and our new single has the same name, which is the title track. So all of the songs, it's not one story like our previous releases, but there's a central theme to the album, which is the bad love, you know, love,
yeah,
not bad.
Infatuation, yeah. Lust, you know, that kind of thing.
Just imagine it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're asleep and you have a great idea, whether it be for a lyric, a riff, whatever. What, if anything, do you do?
I get into the habit of like putting things on my bedside table upside down. Not because like, because I think that if I do something weird, then I'll remember. Like that'll be a trigger for me to remember something. That's about it.
I sleep with my phone next to me, so I always just pick up my phone. And you know what? It very rarely happens to me when I'm in bed. The most time it happens to me when I'm in the shower.
Really? I don't
know if that's a good mental image. Oh, it's okay. It's on the radio.
That's so inconvenient, though.
Yeah. So I have to dry myself and then grab my phone, and then I always sing it into my phone. And then, you know, probably like 90% of them are awful ideas. But
that's the thing. Yeah. Like, you got to like get through the awful ideas before you get some good ones.
Yeah.
What does an event like Big Sound mean for you guys?
Well, I guess it's a chance for all of Australia's music to sort of come together and realise that we're part of a community. That, you know, Australian music isn't just islands on their own. It's a music community, and we've all got each other's back, I guess.
If you had to give one piece of advice to a young band, what would it be?
You know, I was in Bali, and I went to see Nick Cave give a speech. This is at the Bali Writers Festival. And I said, hi, Mr. Cave. I was really nervous. Hi, Mr. Nick Cave. What would your advice be for a young artist? And he looked at me with his steely glaze and just said, lower your expectations. Next. So, yeah. So that kind of put a bad taste in my mouth. But no, it's all right. It's all right.
Answer the question.
Lower your expectations.
I think the best thing to do is to always try and make something that you love, and then, you know, don't ever try and pander to it to, you know, a particular audience or a particular station or or anything. Just make what you want to make, and if you do that, then you know there's a better chance that it'll connect with someone, and you obviously you're going to like it more. So
yeah, do it with love.
We're coming up to summer 2013. What's coming up for you guys?
We're going on a massive tour for about 3 months. We're going all up and down the East Coast, and we're also going to Perth and Bunbury and
Tassie.
Yeah, and Tassie as well. Yeah. So all those dates are, I can't remember them for the life of me, but all those dates are on our Facebook and website and everything. But yeah. Yeah, that's the major plan. So we also got another single coming out in November, as well as the album in February.
Awesome. So how can we find you guys online?
Twinbeasts.com or on our Facebook. Just, you know, do the old Twin Beasts search.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Awesome, guys. Been a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks, Eric. It has been fun. Yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
Okay.
we just heard there from Twin Beasts, formerly known as the Toot Toot Toots. It's been a busy time for Melbourne's Twin Beasts. In the last year, they've played at Victoria's Merit of Music Festival, at Rocket Festival in Western Australia, at the inaugural White Night Melbourne Festival, and to a sold-out crowd at their season at Melbourne's Wigan tent. In 2012, they released their debut album, Outlaws, that was awarded ABC Radio National Album of the Week. Most recently, they recorded their Summer 4 album, Bad Love, with ARIA-nominated producer Burke Reed, due to be released in February 2014. In the past 4 years, Twin Beasts have gone from playing small regional shows and recording in bedrooms to playing national festivals and recording with some of Australia's most esteemed producers. Following two EPs, they released their debut album, Outlaws, in 2012 to great critical acclaim. Inspired by artists as diverse as Beck, Bob Dylan and ELO, Twin Beasts have been compared with the likes of Tom Waits, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. They have made a name for themselves with their hyper-energetic live shows and boisterous romping music. So from Melbourne, that was Twin Beasts.
Hey friends, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you visited the Association of Music Podcasting's website at musicpodcasting.org? You didn't? What are you missing? Well, here's the deal. Each and every podcaster from the Association of Music Podcasting puts out shows on a regular basis, and you can find listings for all of those shows and all of that great music that you may be missing right there at musicpodcasting.org. We also have a Facebook page, and it lets you know every time we put out a new show. It's at facebook.com/musicpodcasting. Oh, and by the way, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/musicpodcasting.
Welcome to day two of Big Sound 2013, coming to you from Fortitude Valley here in Brisbane, and I'm with the Love Junkies. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, all.
Introduce yourselves and what you do in the band to the listeners.
I'm Lewis, and I play the drums.
I'm Robbie, and I'm the bass player.
I'm Mitch, I play guitar and sing.
So tell me, how's your Big Sound been so far?
It's good. We only got in yesterday, like really late, so by the time we checked in, we only had a little bit of time to go check out some bands. We haven't seen much of it, but it's been good so far.
Any highlights of the bands that you've seen so far?
I haven't actually seen many bands. We tried to go see June Rats, and then it was too packed. We couldn't see anything. And then we went to, was it Glass Towers?
Glass Towers.
And I got like the last song they finished, so yeah, haven't actually seen anything yet.
Yeah, I'm the same. I just chilled out last night. I had a couple beers, yeah. Tried to make the most of it.
Adelita. Oh, we caught Adelita, and she's always awesome just to watch. Yeah, she, yeah.
Highlight
so far. Hasn't been many hours in Brisbane yet, so.
What does an event like Big Sound mean for you guys?
Well, you know, the whole idea of it is you know, the entire Australian music industry getting together, you know, and yeah, that whole networking thing. And you know, for us, for a band from Perth, that's so, you know, so far away from, you know, the East Coast, of course. You know, like it gives us a chance to, you know, get out there and play in front of, you know, these people, play in front of new crowds, make new fans, and obviously, you know, hopefully new
networks.
Well, yeah, how would you say it?
Opportunities.
Yeah.
What was the question? I've missed something. Sorry, just
what does Big Sound mean to you?
Well, it's pretty good, just like what Mitch said, just to get out of Perth and give us a reason to, you know, give us a bigger crowd to play to and all that kind of stuff. So we're all really excited. We didn't expect to get it this year. So that's really cool. We're really happy.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah, it's just a good chance to go out and see a bunch of different bands and play some shows, and yeah, it's good.
Now, as we said, it's a good networking opportunity, and it's also a good learning opportunity for everyone. If you could give one piece of advice to a new band, what would it be?
Ooh, I don't know. It's a tough one. I guess just keep doing lots of it, I guess. It's like the more you do of it, the more you learn, and especially when you're in that early stage of trying to find your own sound and stuff, it's just you just got to do a lot of it, I reckon, to get good at it, I think. Yeah.
Play a heap of shows and just try and make as many friends as you can, you know, and try and get into different venues and all that kind of stuff, because, I mean, it was pretty cool for us. We kind of got our start at Mojo's and we kind of just met people from there and got gigs at different venues and all just kind of came out from there. So yeah, just talk to as many people as you can. And yeah,
a bit of advice. I think you know, just focus on writing songs, you know, and having fun, as opposed to, you know, you can get kind of caught up in the, you know, the whole trying to make it biz and all that stuff, and you know, a lot of people try and jump the gun, especially when you're a young band starting out, you kind of want what everybody else has, but you know, you can lose focus. And I think it's just the most important part is just to, you know, focus on your music with your friends, you know, and that way you'll get better gigs, and then from there you'll meet the right people and things will happen naturally, as opposed to, you know, pushing and then getting ripped off by some fat cat.
Speaking of fat cats and whatnot, in the current day, it's common for you to have to do a lot of your own work yourself, a lot of your own promotion. Some people have to do all the studio work themselves. What role, if any, do you have in the band outside of playing? Like, who does the promotion? Who does the PR? Who does, like, booking gigs? That sort of thing.
We have a friend in Perth who does our bookings, as well as we have publicists and managers and stuff like that, you know, who take on a lot of that work. But, you know, we still...
Social networking.
I guess we're taking on the role of recording things ourselves now from this point, which is...
I was making posters up to last week.
Yeah.
Which is nice to have someone else do that now.
Yeah. I sucked at it. Like all the logos and stuff like that, all the artwork, even like for the releases and stuff like that, we all did that ourselves. You know, just anything we could possibly do to save money and, you know, yeah.
Now, I know many of our IrkFM listeners have heard you guys, because I have played you several times on the podcast, but for anyone who hasn't heard of the Love Junkies before, how would you describe your music?
Up and down. It's pretty, I don't know, it's kind of, yeah.
It's kind of, yeah, is it?
Yeah. You know, soft loud kind of thing, you know, kind of, yeah, like Pixies, almost that kind of, that idea, but, you know, it's got a lot of energy, it's quite frantic, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's happy.
The song that I love most for you guys is Maybelline. Very, very catchy song. And now that the drummer's here, I have to say what I usually say at the end of the track when I hear it. Dude, you dropped your stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you drop your stick?
Yeah, well, no, because I think that's from... We did a bunch of percussion stuff over the top of it. And it was me and the producer, this guy Alan Bray. And we were just hitting, I don't know what it was, just blocks of wood and stuff. And... yeah, I think at the end we just sort of chucked them down, but it got picked up, I guess.
How does songwriting work for you guys?
Mitch, you take this one.
Yeah. Generally, or how it has been for, you know, most of the time we've been together, is I'll come up with the kind of initial idea. I'll write, you know, some songs. It can change every time, but mostly it's I'll come up with the music and the lyrics and, you know, melodies and stuff like that, and then, you know, depending on how much, you know, has already happened in my head, you know, we'll jam together, and sometimes I'll have a bass line in mind, or, you know, kind of when you're writing songs, you generally have an idea of how it's meant to go or where it's going, you know, and then we just kind of get together and share, you know, talk about ideas and, you know, just kind of, yeah, pretty much like that.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and imagine you're asleep, and each of you have a great idea, whether it be for a lyric, a riff, a beat, whatever. What, if anything, do you do?
I don't know. Try and just write it down before you fall back asleep, I guess.
I usually play the acoustic and then try and remember it the next day and can't remember it. That's usually what I do. And then think, damn it, why didn't I just record it on my iPhone or something?
Yeah. Common answer.
Yeah. iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
So we're at Big Sound now in September 2013, the Australian summer coming up. What's coming up for you guys?
Well, not too much. We got a New Year's festival in Melbourne that we're playing, which we're looking forward to. Be the first time we've ever been out of Perth for New Year's.
Yeah,
should be good.
We're recording an EP as well.
We're recording an EP, yeah. Which we're doing in my old bedroom at my parents' place, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it sounds good. But yeah, that's about it so far.
Yeah.
And if you had to name a highlight from this year, from 2013 so far, what would it be?
Probably Southbound and Big Day Out. Anger Over the Moon, just like all the festivals all in one big hit, was kind of awesome fun. It's kind of a bit surreal, you know.
What's it like doing a festival gig compared to a pub gig?
It's like completely different. I don't know which one I prefer because they're both really fun. But... you know, you can't beat a real good pub gig, you know, with lots of people there and everyone's sweating and jumping off things and that kind of stuff. But festivals are cool as well because it's a massive stage and, like, you know, Mitch looks tiny on the other side of the stage. It's kind of a lot different than what we're used to. Usually I turn around, I can't see Lewis because he's, like, behind his cymbals and I have a freak out that I can't see him.
But you know he's there.
But I know he's there, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So good luck tonight, guys. I know you've got a couple of shows coming up tonight and then you've got the rest of the year. Good luck and stay in touch.
Cool, thanks a lot, man.
How can we find you online?
You find our Facebook
or our website. TheLoveJunkiesMusic.com.
Nice.
Awesome, guys, been a lot of fun.
Cool, thanks.
From Perth in Western Australia, grunge, blues and alternative band The Love Junkies. They were founded by singer-songwriter Mitch and drummer Lewis at the end of 2009. After playing their very first shows as fresh youngsters and hunters to bikies in the hills, they were offered a show with local stars the Novocaines. 2010 was a big year for the Love Junkies, who supported the cream of Western Australian and national acts, including Numbers Radio, Empires, The Shake Up, Harlequin League, Kill Devil Hills, Ouch My Face, Young Revelry, and New Zealand Heavyweights Die Die Die. In 2011, they released their self-titled EP independently. The EP launch sold out in no time at all, with punters who missed out on tickets jumping the back wall of the venue to catch a glimpse of the band's powerhouse set. The single was well received with local and national radio airplay, and also has been featured on Triple J's Home and Hosed, and also was on the Triple J Unearthed. In 2012, the band released their third single, Louise, to a sellout crowd in January. The Love Junkies are influenced by bands such as Mudhoney, Sonic Youth, The White Stripes, The Pixies, Nirvana, Cream, At The Drive-In, The Hendrix Experience, The Smashing Pumpkins, The Black Keys, Jefferson Airplane, Queens of the Stone Age, Radiohead, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, The Beatles, Lennon, Harrison, McCartney and Wings, The Doors, and the list goes on. So from Perth, Western Australia, that is the Love Junkies. Dude, you dropped your stick.
This podcast is a proud member of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org. The association is a group of over 50 like-minded podcasters who showcase great Podsafe music each week. AMP has members from the US and Canada through the UK, Portugal, Germany, and all the way around to Nepal and Australia. As you can imagine, the music these podcasters play is as varied as their locations. Blues, indie rock, jazz, reggae, folk, metal, we have all the genres and more. A truly eclectic mix of music to satisfy every musical ear. Each Monday, we produce Amped, a weekly digest of the best tracks played by our podcasters. Every week, there's a new host, and for them as well as you, it's a musical journey of discovery. Not only will you hear great new music, it's a perfect way to discover great new podcasts such as Suffolk and Cool, a global mix of the very best independent music, emanating from a barn on the east coast of England, at suffolkandcool.com. First thing though, get over to musicpodcasting.org. You'll find links to all the member shows and get yourself subscribed. Do it now!
Welcome back to IRC FM Australia, episode 382 that you can find at IRCFMAustralia.com. We are here with a couple of members from the band The Middle Names. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you going?
How you doing?
Good. How's your big sound been?
Awesome so far. Spent last night running around catching a million bands, so it's good.
Any highlights from bands that you saw?
Regurgitator or June Rats. They were both awesome. Regurgitator rocked the pink onesies. So that was good to see.
And Billy Bragg was just awesome. Yeah. Yeah, he was just so good.
Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell me what you do in the band and who's not here.
So I'm Ben, and I am the lead singer and I play guitar.
I'm Jordan, I play bass. Who are we missing?
Missing Ryan, who plays drums, Nick, who plays guitar, and Ali, who also plays guitar and sings.
So tell me about the name. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, it started as my solo project, and I was called Ben Wells and The Middle Names, yeah. And I started with Nick, so he's the only other kind of original member, and just as we're writing this album, it kind of was a more cohesive project. It wasn't my project anymore, it was the band project, so we decided to just call it The Middle Names. But yeah, originally it was a drummer who used to play for the band who's middle name was what everyone called him. Everyone just called him by his middle name, so it was Ben Wells and The Middle Names.
For those of you who out there, listeners, haven't heard these guys' music, how would you describe your music?
Someone was saying before it's kind of like indie post-punk, but it's kind of just upbeat, pumping along kind of riffs and songs that it's storytelling, really. Like, it's storytelling in a kind of pop band sense.
What does an event such as Big Sound mean for you?
Means free massages and free lunches and super hot weather. And also just like an opportunity to play in front of, you know, super important industry people and like and babes. And babes
and
and new fans. Yeah. It's awesome. We this is our second year at Big Sound, so we're very grateful to be back. It's an awesome festival.
So tell me, how does songwriting work for you guys?
Kind of works. I'll bring an idea to the band. I'll have like the lyrics all kind of nutted out, and then normally these guys will tell me how shit some of it is, and they'll change it around, and we end up with a song.
So what comes first, the lyrics or the music?
It changes every time. Sometimes I'll just start jotting down some lyrics that I had in my head, and sometimes I'll pick up guitar and write something. But Geordie and Nick from the band are kind of more musical heads in terms of writing the music than me.
So just imagine for a moment, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're asleep, you come up with a great idea, whether it be for a lyric, a riff, a beat, whatever it happens to be, what, if anything, do you do?
Go back to sleep. Try and pray that I still remember it in the morning. I've actually had dreams where I've written complete songs in my dreams, and they've been the best songs I've ever written. And I'm like, oh, so good. And then I wake up and it's gone. It's just, it's crazy. It's happened to me probably about 5 times, I reckon, and I kick myself every time. But
five number one hits, wasn't it? You had written in your sleep.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah, I did that too. Yeah,
I'm no good before noon anyway, so I like to get my sleep and then let the creative juices flow. They don't happen in the middle of the night for me.
Yeah, I'm much the same actually. I've probably done it once where I've written something down, just an idea, but I don't think I've ever gotten up and recorded, you know, something like that. Too lazy.
So for this year, 2013, what's been the highlight of your year so far?
I reckon recording our album with Magoo in Brisbane. I spent 2 weeks, but the rest of the guys spent about 3 weeks. We were in Fernvale, which is about an hour out of Brisbane, at Magoo's church come studio, doing our album, and it was awesome. Super good experience.
Yeah, same for me actually. It's unreal working with a producer of that caliber, as opposed to kind of doing it a DIY recording kind of thing as we've done in the past. So that's definitely my highlight.
You mentioned DIY, and a lot of you guys have got day jobs and you've got to do a lot of the things yourselves. What apart from this do you do outside the band, like when it comes to promotion and everything?
Yeah, we do a lot of on-the-ground stuff for promoting the band, obviously all the online stuff kind of promoting it as well, but we tend to tour a fair bit. Being from Tassie, you have to go, you know, make a trip over to Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane as often as you can, so, yeah, we tour a lot.
Yeah.
What is the Tassie music scene like, apart from needing to travel to the mainland?
Yeah, it's good. There's a really good, thriving music scene in Tasmania with all its kind of different genres and stuff. But yeah, it's the same as, I suppose, Brisbane was a few years ago. It's a bit isolated. You know, people don't know what's going on in Tassie.
Which is one of the reasons why, you know, interviews such as this and events like this would be good to say, hey, guys, if you want to come down to Tassie, you know, we've got venues for you.
Absolutely, and bands that tour to Tasmania always have such a rad time, and I think they're surprised a lot at the response they get, and Tassie crowds are awesome. Like they don't just stand there nodding their heads with their
they're doing shoeies. Getting wild.
Yeah, it happens, I guess, because we don't get as much that the Tassie crowds appreciate it a little bit more. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
If you had to give one piece of advice to a new band, because Big Sound's a lot about learning as well, what would you say to a new band?
Just play as much as you can, I suppose. Play as many live shows as you can. I think about how our live set's grown from when we first started and how many shows it's taken us to get it to where it is today. Probably would have played like 400 shows, 500 shows kind of thing. So, yeah, play as much as you can.
And write a good song. Like that's really what it comes down to. Just, yeah, spend the time, put the work in, and, yeah, go for it.
So we're in September 2013 at Big Sound in Brisbane. What's coming up for you guys?
We're going to be releasing the second single off our album, which is called I Need Space. We're going to do a clip for that as well, and then we're going to tour some more, I reckon.
Awesome. So how can we find you guys online?
Yeah, hit us up on Facebook. It's just the middle name's Music, and we're on Unearth, and we're on all the good ones. Yeah, covered.
So you guys are going to play tonight?
Yeah, tonight we're playing at Alumbra Lounge at 8:20. Then we're off to Sydney for some shows after this. But yeah, really looking forward to playing Big Sound again.
So you've got here, Sydney, and then back home?
Yeah, back home. We haven't got any shows booked after that. We'll just focus on releasing the next single and then yeah, we'll go from there.
Awesome. Guys, it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
I can see that you are happy where your life is. I can see that you can swim. I can see that you are happy where your life is going, and you have found peace within. And you know now that the treasures that you store upon this earth, that will be worthless like the dirt you walk upon. And you know to live your life to its fullest, till you're full, with your friends around you too, with your friends around you too. I have learned a few things on my short time on this earth. I have learned what things are worth. Not to judge a book by its cover, but to always read inside. But if you pick it up to read, and the book is full of shit, all the pictures ain't much good, then the author is a fraud. Do not waste your time on him. Go and spend it with your friends, living life until you're full, living life until you're full. To make you happy, there are things that bring you down. I think you could be happy with me if you care to have me round. I know I've made mistakes, I've wandered and I've strayed, but I promise you I've changed. Yeah, I promise you I've changed. But if I ever let you down, do not waste your time on me. Go and spend it with your friends, living life until you're full.
From Hobart and Tasmania, indie rock band The Middle Names, formerly known as Ben Wells and The Middle Names. In the past, they have supported the likes of San Cisco, who I have featured on IRC FM before, The Jungle Giants, Art vs. Science, and they've played slots at the Falls Festival, Festival of the Sun, and MS Fest. They've just finished recording their debut album with renowned producer Magoo, who has produced for Regurgitator, The Jungle Giants, and Midnight Oil. To find out more about the Middle Names and all of the other bands on this episode, go to irkfmaustralia.com, episode 382. You are listening to IRC FM Australia, IRCFMAustralia.com, and we have some members of the Griswolds with us. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hey. Yeah.
Introduce yourself. Tell me what you do in the band, and tell me who's not here.
I am Christopher, and I sing songs with my voice.
I'm Lockie, and I play keys with my fingers.
I'm going to think of something funny. I'm Tim, and I play bass.
And who's not here?
Dan and Riley are not here.
Guitarists and drummers.
Yeah. So for people who haven't heard your music, how would you describe it? I know I have featured you guys several times on IRC FM before, but just in case they haven't been listening, how would you describe it?
I would call it upbeat, energetic indie pop goodness with a hint of tropical pineapple juice.
We're going to copyright that too, please.
Okay, that's totally fine. Tell me about the name. How did that come about?
Oh, we're actually like a couple of weeks out from playing our very first show. EP was already recorded, and a film clip was already shot, and we were ready to go. We just didn't have a band name, and we were just sitting around having a few drinks and talking about kind of 80s culture. And first of all, we had Weekend at Bernie's. And that was, and our manager was like, "Hell to the no, you're not calling yourself Weekend at Bernie's. I will fire you."
And then there was "We Are the Greatest," which I think it.
Ambitious.
Yeah, that was a very ambitious move.
So what did they go? Someone called it suicide.
Yes.
So you cannot call your band "We Are the Greatest." It was like, it's a bit of a piss take, but anyway, it got called suicide. And but then we kept on the 80s culture thing and ended up with the Griswolds.
So you've been here at Big Sound. You have to perform tonight. How's Big Sound been for you? And hello, Chance Waters. How are you?
Chance Waters. Hey, man. Our buddy.
Hey, brother.
Yeah, I just. Eric from Merc FM. How going?
Exclusive. Yeah, this is an exclusive interruption. Exclusive by Chance Waters.
That's by chance, that was all good.
By chance. Very, very nice. Guys, see?
You know, this is like the 20th interview I've interrupted as well.
Good man.
Hey, you've got to get your name out there somehow, bro. So, apart from being interrupted by guys by chance, what's Big Sound been like for you? And what does it mean for you as a person in a band?
Well, so far we haven't really done much because we only just arrived up from Sydney. But we're mega stoked to be here. Big Sound's a huge part of Australian music, and you know, like this is our chance to sort of show off our wares to the Australian market, which is cool. And we would love to do that sort of thing in our home country, which is, it's a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah. It's also good to just walk around the streets and bump into all of your friends from bands and things like that. Yeah. You may be from other cities. It's just good to get everyone in the same suburb.
It's a great vibe around.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Agreed.
Yeah. So you have to perform tonight. Pumped?
Yeah, really, really stoked. We're actually playing a bunch of new songs that we've never played before, so it's exciting to sort of finally be doing some new music. We've sort of been playing the same set for a while now, so yeah, it's cool.
I'm not sure what's going on over there, but it sounds all right.
I believe someone's singing the Friends theme tune.
They're having fun.
So for a new band, if you had to give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say just keep plugging away. I mean, you're gonna get a crap load of bad news along your journey, and if you let it get in your way of continuing, then of course you're never gonna have a chance. So just keep plugging.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Just stick to it. You know, don't never stop writing songs. That's the best part.
And I'd say just try and be as original as you can, because if you keep doing the same thing as everyone else, probably won't stick out. So, yeah.
How does songwriting work for you guys?
Myself and Daniel do a lot of the writing, and we kind of just lock ourselves in a room till we hate each other and hopefully have a bunch of songs at the end of the journey. But we like to drink and other things when we write, which is cool. So we kind of get these crazy tracks, and then we clean them up into what most people know as Griswold's EP. That's kind of the way it works for now.
What happens if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and each of you that might come up with a good idea, whether it be for a lyric, a riff, drum beat, whatever it happens to be, what if anything do you do?
3 a.m. I think it's the beauty of the iPhone, isn't it? You just whip it out and hum. I've got a bunch of weird things of me humming on my phone, which if someone found it, it'd sound very creepy. But
Has it ever worked?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things sitting there. I usually can't decipher them in the morning, though. They sound very weird.
I've been walking along and had an idea and sang it into my phone to pretend that I'm on the phone so I don't look crazy singing into my phone. That works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of our EP songs was actually written that way, at 3 o'clock in the morning on an electronic drum kit.
So it's September 2013, we're at Big Sound in Brisbane. What's been a highlight for you this year?
Ooh, probably Big Day Out and our little mini worldwide tour. That was pretty massive highlight for me personally. Those two, well, Big Day Out was just awesome, like massive crowd we didn't expect to have at all, and then to head straight on off to a little tour around Amsterdam and America and England was just something I didn't really think we'd be doing this soon in the piece. It was pretty cool.
What'd you think of Amsterdam? Did you get warned not to go into the cafes and don't look into the windows?
Those warnings didn't happen. everyone kind of encouraged that sort of behaviour, to which I'm sure most people not us took part in.
Highlight so far for the year?
Joining the band. Yeah, that'd be a big one for me. I'm a late acquisition, but it's been fun.
I'm the fresh one.
So what's it like being the new guy, and how did they find you?
I've been friends with them for a while, and yeah.
At the Columbian in Sydney.
Yeah, found me shirtless dancing in Sydney at the Columbian, basically. They thought, this is the guy we want. This is the guy we're going
to
get.
And he happened to play keyboard, so that was like just a win, a total win. But yeah, going overseas is pretty amazing. And big day out, and being excited about new songs. Yeah.
What's coming up for the rest of 2012, coming into 2014? That's amazing, 2014 already.
Well, like I was saying before, the album recording is going to pretty much take up the rest, well, the tour around Australia, then album recording for the rest of the year, and then hopefully a bit of downtime in early 2014 before the album comes out, hopefully like March or April.
And finally, before we let you go, have you got any strange sort of superstitions, things that you have to do before you go on stage?
Not before on stage. I'm just a fairly superstitious person in general. But yeah, tequila is it's a must before a gig.
Yeah, I'm superstitious that if we don't have tequila, we'll probably really be heaps bad.
So have you started on the tequila yet?
No, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to hit a bar yet. We've pretty much got straight out of the car and came straight into interviews. But I think it's safe to say we'll probably go straight to the tequila bar after this is done.
Awesome. So, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Good luck with everything. Good to see some Sydney siders representing. And how can we find you on the internet?
Facebook or Twitter. I think facebook.com/thegriswolds. Twitter tag is We The Griswolds. We're on Tumblr, Instagram, Blender, Grindr.
You're not on Grindr, are you?
Yeah, we've got a band account on Grindr. We like to hit them up.
Just to see who's around. It's just good to know sometimes.
Yeah, good exposure.
Yeah.
It's really good exposure.
Sometimes you have to get what you can get, and who knows who would listen to your music.
That's right. You take what you get when you can get it. You know, there's a lot of people on Grindr that are interested.
Lovely people too.
Lovely people.
I agree. Yeah.
So guys, it's been a lot of fun. Good luck tonight, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
We just heard from the Griswolds from Sydney. Their first bio simply read, quote, "The Chameleons of Pop." That description holds true for the Sydney indie pop group, formed almost 2 years ago. They were immediately thrown into the spotlight after they found instant success in early 2012 when they became Australia Triple J's Unearthed feature artist and won a slot on the 2012 Parklight Festival lineup alongside Passion Pit. In the beginning, there was no set plan for the music that was created almost incidentally by the joint efforts of the duo. The two musicians had been playing in various bands around Sydney and got together one night to expand on a guitar riff that Dan had written. That was when, almost immediately, they had great songwriting chemistry. They self-recorded and released their debut EP, Heart of a Lion, in Australia during the fall of 2012 without actually having a band name, as we found out during the interview. Heart of a Lion, the single with its charming and buoyant toe-tapping sounds, has received airplay in over 20 countries worldwide. The track was also featured on an iTunes single of the week and notably created a huge buzz in the Netherlands, where it received number 3 in radio airplay. The Griswolds have toured extensively in Australia, Europe and the US with artists such as Django Django, San Cisco and Last Dinosaurs, to name a few. They've played numerous Australian festivals, including the Big Day Out, a show that stands out in their minds as their favourite show to date. And so, as the guys mentioned during the interview, they are working on a new album.
Just with the camera, if you are going to take photographs, can you please turn your flash off? It's most important on the underground. Can you turn your flash off when you use the camera? And next time, if you're going to take a photograph, can you ensure that I'm smiling, please?
You have been listening to IRC FM Australia, episode 382, with some interviews and some studio tracks from bands that I've interviewed over 2 days at Big Sound. We heard from The Trouble with Templeton, Twin Beasts formerly known as the Toot Toot Toots, the Love Junkies, the Middle Names, and the Griswolds. Funny to note there that Twin Beasts are the only band without the in the title. Rather interesting there, just looking back at the list. If you want to hear more from Big Sound 2013 here in Brisbane, you'll be able to hear some live tracks that I've recorded around at the various venues on episodes 384 and 386 of IRC FM Australia, and also some Canadian tracks on IRC FM International, episode 383. It's been a lot of fun being here at Big Sound, going through and getting the various interviews, meeting various people, some people that I've been corresponding with via email, and some bands that I've been giving airplay for some time but actually haven't seen them live yet. But to do so in such an area with 12 venues very close by, plus the conference facilities and whatnot, has been absolutely awesome. Thank you to Stephen and also to Sarah from SGC Media for their help and assistance in getting me here and facilitating the interviews. And also thank you to Laura and to Maddie for making sure that myself and the bands have been in the right place at the right time. There was over 250 interviews conducted over the 2 days of Big Sound that the team had to organise, not including various interviews that people have lined up themselves. So it's been a very big festival. Stay tuned for the next couple of weeks for some live tracks. If all of this music isn't enough for you, you can check out my sister show, IRC FM International, bringing you great music from outside Australia. And if you like your music a little bit harder, you can also check out IRC FM Metal Monday at IRCFMMetalMonday.com, which is on Mondays, hosted by me and about metal. Don't forget to check out the fellow members of the Association of Music Podcasting that you can find at musicpodcasting.org. 40 people, just like me, featuring great independent and unsigned music from around the world. You can find those guys with all their various shows and various accents at musicpodcasting.org. Music Podcasting Made Easy. From this interview episode of IRC FM Australia, thank you to the bands as well for giving me some great interviews. It was really nice to see them. With the exception of two of the bands, I have played three of the bands extensively here on IRC FM Australia before, so it was actually great to meet up and chat with them. Anywho, I'm IRC. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that music is life, and I will talk to you next time on the interweb, IRCFM.com. Till then, good night, interweb.